Hi, this is Meredith Foster. We don't often choose to be stretched. Given a choice, safety, security always seem like wise options. That's what Christina Moffitt had always believed. She had a good job. It was reliable, secure. But there was this undeniable nudge. She loved to bake, and her creations made people happy. And God seemed to be saying he wanted her to use that gift. So she began with one small baby step, not too far outside the comfort zone. She had no idea how far this journey would take her. This is Chapter 33 of Epic, Christina Moffitt's story.
2010, a lot of people realized that there was a recession going on. And at that point in my life, I worked for an architecture firm. So when you think about the recession, what was hitting first was construction.
Yeah.
So projects are coming to a halt, which then trickles down to the subs, which then trickles down to the architects, and all our competitors were starting to lay off people. And I knew that my job wasn't in jeopardy at the time, but I just felt so awful walking into the office, looking around with people with nothing to work on and wondering if today was the day that they were going to lose their job. And how many people would that impact? Those families, you know, where were they going to go? There was no jobs, you know, after that. And I just began to feel more sick about being one of the people that might have to lay these people off. So I kind of prayed over and I thought, well, what do I do to make people happy and fill my soul? Because I was feeling such a void, you know, just seeing all of this. And I just felt this gentle nudge to go back to what I knew and loved when I was growing up, and that was baking. Yeah, so my mom and I had always grown up in the kitchen together. I'm one of five kids, and my mom and I were very close, and I loved baking with her and preparing dinner and meals and the connection of people and food. And my mom always baked and took things to people when they were sad. Huh. And so going back to my childhood, I did the same thing. I thought, how do I cheer these people up? So I started baking and taking stuff into the office is really how the cupcake story begins. And in that process, when you make something and people like it, they ask you to make it for them and they want to buy it. And so I thought, okay, well, why not? You know, I'll do a couple things. I'll kind of dabble in it and I'll just save some money for vacation. This will just be kind of a little side gig. So I agreed to only people I knew and that would be it. Of course, word gets out and you start doing more and more. So my girlfriend worked at a bank and she said, hey, you're starting to have a lot of money coming into your account that's not like your paycheck. What's going on here? And I thought, oh man, a bank is slagging me. And I said, well, I've kind of got this side business, but I don't really know what I'm doing with it. I don't know if this is a business. And so she said, well, I think you need to go talk to somebody about it and see if it's a legit business. And I was like, hold up, no way. Like, I love this, and I feel like I'm supposed to do this in my heart, but it's a hobby. And so I listened to her. I followed the nudge and went and got some legal advice and just got legal because, of course, we don't want to get in trouble. That was my whole thing of, yes, I'm just going to pursue this so I don't legally get in trouble. And sure enough, as soon as I got that account and things legalized as a business, I got a call from a friend that said, hey, can you come sell those down at this market? And I thought, oh, well, that's people I don't know. How am I going to do this? And he said, well, there's no restaurants open, so why don't you come down and it'll just be selling for the vendors. They have to be out here 4 hours. They're going to get hungry. Cupcake's a great afternoon snack. So I go down to the first market. I said, well, how many do I need to bring? And he said, I don't know, four dozen, a dozen an hour. That seems legit, right? Sure. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I go to this market, and the first person walks up and orders six. And I said, I can only sell you four. And they said, well, why? And I said, because I don't have any boxes. You can only carry four in your hands. So that was learning lesson number one of, okay, like a little bit of testing you and not feeling prepared. And I think we always have this in the back of our head. We feel like we're putting on a show a little bit. And so I just learned on the fly and I made a lot of friends. And so I had committed 4 weekends to doing this. So the next weekend I went back, I took eight dozen and boxes and sold out in an hour and a half again. And so the next weekend I went back, I took 16 dozen, again, sold out before the market was over. And by the last weekend, I took 32 dozen back to this market, and I didn't even make it to my tent before people found out where I parked and lined up my car. And I was just like, what is going on here? Like, I was kind of stunned, but I figured out people really like butter and sugar. And I'm like, okay, well, this can happen, but Actually, at that last market, I was really ready to break down and cry.
Oh.
Like, I just didn't know that I wanted to do it anymore and that I was supposed to be doing this. Like, I had this safe, secure job, and now my schedule was I would race home from work at night because I had regular clients that I was working for. So I'd race home from night, and I would bake until 2 in the morning, shut my oven off, go to sleep. I would sleep 4 hours. Get up and deliver everything, go to work, possibly deliver stuff over lunch, and then race home at night and start it over again. And now on the weekends, I was baking everything all day Saturday and turning around and selling all day Sunday.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, I was so exhausted, and I just thought, okay, God, make this stop. Like, this was fun. I don't want to do this anymore. Just make it stop. And I was driving to go put my deposit in from the last market, and I literally had a breakdown in my car, just sobbing because I was so exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, God, if I'm supposed to do this, I need a sign. Like, this is not fun anymore, you know? And if you really want me to do this, please, please show me that I'm supposed to do this. And I stopped at a stoplight that day in front of a storage unit, and then I looked up at the sign, and it literally said, "Be patient and persistent" on the billboard. And I just cried. I was like, no, tell me all these orders canceled and like the oven broke or something that I can't do this. And then I said, I didn't mean a literal sign. I what am I going to do with this? So I called my mom and I'm crying. And she's just like, hon, if God has to hit you over the head with a billboard, he will do it. And so I thought, okay, I'm done. I've made it through the markets. I've just got orders. Like, things are beginning to kind of roll again. And I met a girlfriend for coffee because I felt like I wasn't seeing anybody. And I just mm-hmm. needed to see a girlfriend. And her and I went to the coffee shop. And I was living off of coffee at that time. And I walked over to put a little bit of milk in my coffee. And I about dropped my coffee because there sat a sign that said, use the talents that God gave you. But the background of the sign was a cupcake. And my girlfriend just said, Christina, do you see that? And I'm like, am I awake?
Oh, my goodness.
She's like, we have to see if we can buy the sign. And the person was like, oh, yeah, it's super cute. We've had a lot of people, but the sign's not for sale. And I was like, this is put in my path for a reason. Like, be patient and persistent. And God's now telling me to use the talents that he gave me. And all I want it to do is stop at this point.
Did you feel like he was saying, do this full time, or did you just know you were supposed to keep going on the path you were on?
I just felt like I was supposed to be on the path that I was on, but I was terrified
and
because
exhausted.
I'm so exhausted. I can't keep up at this pace. Like, I'm gonna crash.
Mm-hmm.
And another week went by, and I went to meet a friend to discuss some lighting for a project that we had done many times in the past. And I went and I sat down with him, and he said, well, you know, lighting's great, but actually, can you produce 1,000 cupcakes for the event this year? And I said, yeah. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, okay, God, this message is coming through loud and clear. Like, if I'm supposed to make 1,000 of these, this is going to happen some way, shape, or form. And so I said, yeah, I can do this. And I thought, if I can move 1,000 of these at a time, like, this is turning into a business and not a hobby. So I left and I went home and I spoke to my husband at the time and I said, I just sold 1,000 cupcakes. Like, if I can sell 1,000 at a time, we have a business, this is going to be great. And he said to me, are you nuts? Do you have any idea how long this is going to take you to produce? And I was like, no, like, we're just going to crank these babies out, 1,000. He's like, I challenge you to sit down and figure out how long this is going to take. And so it took me a little while. I sat down and figured it out. And it was 26 hours of just putting pans in and out of the oven.
Are you doing this out of your home?
Out of my home. And so I'm thinking, 26 hours of just putting pans in, like, that's not mixing in my tiny little 4-quart mixer. That's not filling them. That's not frosting them, decorating them. That's nothing. I can't do this out of my house. And so he said, well, you better figure something out quick if you agreed to this and figure out how you're going to get it done. And so I kind of try. I'm like, how am I going to find a kitchen that's a commercial kitchen? Like, I don't have a license. I don't have all the stuff to even rent a kitchen. And I just continue to pray over it. And sure enough, I get a phone call out of the blue from a guy I had never met. And he said, hey, your name came up as somebody who might be looking to rent a kitchen. He said, I have a kitchen available. Now, it's only half the kitchen, but it's a commercial kitchen. I already have a mixer. We have a convection oven, a walk-in cooler. Do you want to come look at it? And I said, well, yeah, I want to come look at it. And I said, well, where are you? And he said, well, I think you work kitty corner from me. And the office, the kitchen was literally kitty corner across the street from where I worked.
Goodness.
And I just cried. I'm like, it's been there all this time, right in front of me. But until the timing was right and I was ready to see it, then it became available to me. So I ran across the street, looked at him. He said, hey, we'll just go month to month. I signed the lease. I was like, I just get me till February. It's November. I know the order has to be delivered by February. So even if I have to pay a couple months in advance, it'll be fine. And as soon as I signed that lease, like everything started to rain down. I started getting large orders. I mean, in the hundreds for corporate events around town. And so like Principal, Financial, Walmart, we had Kemen Industries order. We had weddings coming in. It was holiday seasons. We had holiday parties booking. I mean, it just was like...
Were you even trying to get
these? No. So that was just like, okay, God said, okay, you're listening and here you go, because here it comes. So at that point, we roll into December and I'm thinking, okay, I've got all this backlog of work coming at me and I've got that 1,000 cupcake event coming in December. I can't do this. I can't do both of these. Mm-hmm. And so I had just prayed and prayed over it, like, let my eyes be open. Let me hear if this is what I'm supposed to do. And we had just gone back and forth, and my husband was, he's a city planner, so very thoughtful, like planned out, risk-adverse person. And he said, finally, one night, he goes, you can always go get another job. Like, if this is not what's supposed to happen, you can always go get another job. And so I walked into work, and it's Christmas time, and I turned in my notice, and they were like, wait a minute, what? You're gonna leave here to go do what? And they had no idea what big business had unfolded behind me in this whole process. So I left and started this kind of whole crazy journey in 2011 as becoming an entrepreneur. Like God just literally opened and put me where I was supposed to be. And so walking into the kitchen the first day, I walked in there and, you know, I'm so excited. And then I looked around and I cried. I was like, what did I just do? Like, I left my paycheck. There's nobody in here to tell me, like, who to hire, what to bake. There's no, like, tech team to set up my computer. There's no marketing documents. Like, what did I just do?
For Christina Moffitt, a baby step outside of her comfort zone had now led to a complete leap of faith, with far more questions than answers. But it was undeniable. God had led her every step so far. And it turned out this was just the beginning of her journey of faith and cupcakes. Part two of Christina's story is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. If you like today's show, we hope you'll head to our website to check out other episodes, read articles about our guests, and share a podcast with a friend. You can do all of that at myfaithradio.com. And if you enjoy Epic, subscribe using your favorite podcast player so you never miss an episode. Today, we're talking with Christina Moffitt. A love for baking and a nudge from God had led her to give up her safe, secure career to start a cupcake business. An idea that seemed crazy, even to her. She had taken a leap far outside her comfort zone, and it was only the first step of her incredible journey. Here is part two of her story.
And so I walked into work, and it's Christmas time, and I turned in my notice, and they were like, wait a minute, what? You're gonna leave here to go do what? And they had no idea what big business had unfolded behind me in this whole process. So I left and started this kind of whole crazy journey in 2011 as becoming an entrepreneur. Like God just literally opened and put me where I was supposed to be. And so walking into the kitchen the first day, I walked in there and, you know, I'm so excited. And then I looked around and I cried. I was like, what did I just do? Like, I left my paycheck. There's nobody in here to tell me, like, who to hire, what to bake. There's no, like, tech team to set up my computer. There's no marketing documents. Like, what did I just do? And I was like, okay, God, I think I've listened to you as long as I'm supposed to. Like, help me through this process. And so I started chasing work, you know, just telling myself, just get to that 1,000 cupcake event, because then I could be done. Really, in my head, it was like, this is a good little challenge, but get to the 1,000 cupcakes.
And you thought you would finish then?
I didn't know. Okay. I just thought, well, I'll go get another job. Like, yep. just prove his point that you can do this and go get another job. And we hit that 1,000 cupcake event, and all, I mean, my friends, my family, everybody came in to help me finish this job. I stayed up 24 hours straight and went to the event where it was at. We had gotten two tickets to go, so it's myself and I took my mom. We go to the event and watched people eat these cupcakes, and everybody was just like, where are these from? And when you feed 1,000 people and they like the product, you kind of explode overnight. It was like, oh, not Oprah's goodness. Favorite things, but close enough. And so I came into work the next day and our voice message was full and people wanted to order. And I was just like, this is great, but oh my gosh, what did I just do?
Wow.
How can I do this by myself? That was my thing. I can't deliver and answer the phone and produce all of this stuff. So I was like, God, I have to hire somebody. Just please send me a good employee. Like, I don't know how to hire people. What am I going to do? And so I hired the best person I knew, and her name was Mom. And so my mom left her career of 23 years to come work with me. And she told me that back when I was selling at the little market, that she knew that we would be on every corner. And she believed in what we were doing so much that she wanted to be my first employee. And so moms are great because they always have your mission statement at heart. They see your vision. They don't complain working overtime. They let you cry in the kitchen and never say anything to HR. So it was fabulous. And I just felt truly blessed. I mean, I don't know a lot of people's parents that would just be like, yeah, I'm going to leave a really good job to come bake with my daughter. So we get her in the kitchen and we're off and running and producing, and then we're producing so much now that we need to hire another part-time person and then another part-time person.
How long is, what was the timeline for
about
this?
About 3 months.
Oh,
we added two more part-time people, but the problem was,
wow,
we had only rented half of a kitchen. So now we've got four people around this tiny table. And the landlord came to me and said, I think you guys probably need to look at a bigger space. I'll give you 30 days. I just was like, okay, start praying over it again. And I get a second phone call from a gentleman I didn't know. And he said, I heard the word out on the street. You're looking for a kitchen. I have one. It's not ready yet, but I'll get it ready in 2 weeks. Do you want to come move here and rent this kitchen from me? And I said, well, I'll come look at it. I'll do anything at this point. And so I went to look at it, and I was like, okay, this is a lot bigger. So what are we talking about rent-wise? Because I don't think I can afford this. And he's just said to me, let's just do a percentage of your sales. So if you're slow 1 month, you don't need to pay me. If you have a great month, you can pay me. I've never once found that deal again. Everybody wants their rent, right? And the other thing was, is that he was a general manager overseeing several properties and began to use us in those facilities.
Oh,
so he really just rolled the dice on us and really kind of put his arms around me and just kind of lifted me in the industry as well, coming from the restaurant industry. And so God just put this amazing man like right in front of me and said, we're going to help you swim. So we moved over there. It was great. We get settled. We're there 1 week and I get a phone call out of the blue. There was a gentleman on the end of the line and he said, hey, I love your product. He said, the bakery across the street from my shop just closed and we really want you to move to our neighborhood. And I said, well, wow, that's really nice. Thanks. But I think I'm good here. I just moved. And he said, are you sure? Maybe you could just come look at it. And so I said, okay, let's just go look at it. This will be fun. I can politely decline after I've seen the space. And so we walk into this bakery, and it was previously a Great Harvest Bread. Mm. So 8x8 foot oven, had the mixers, the refrigerators. Did not look very pretty in there. But at that point, I just knew. I was like, nothing ever leaves this neighborhood. If I'm being pointed to land in a spot, I think it would be in the middle of very long-standing businesses that can help me and that God would put me here. This would make sense. And I really believe that that was God's way of telling me, you know, this is where you're meant to be. So we're on Ingersoll, which is kind of a eclectic neighborhood with restaurants and bars and galleries. And I thought, this is perfect, right? Like kind of after-dinner spots and people could walk down from their homes to us and really felt like that's where we were supposed to be. So I left and decided I needed to go get a loan now because we had been building this, kind of bootstrapping the whole business. And I thought, who's going to turn this down? Like, this is on my heart that I'm supposed to do this. It's wonderful. Went to the first bank, which was the bank I banked at, and they were like, no way. And I thought, okay, well, whatever. I'll just go to somebody else. And I was turned down 7 times.
After all this momentum and all this forward to run into that brick wall, what did that feel like?
And so I just thought, I was frustrated, but I thought, you know what? Like, God hasn't steered me wrong in what I'm doing, so this is his way of just saying, hey, let's put the brakes on it. You know, I've guided you this far. you're really, I mean, I left my job. We're only like 10 months into me leaving my job at this point.
Wow.
And so the crazy thing was the landlord looked at me dead in the eye and said, I really believe in this, that you're supposed to be here. So I'm just going to sit on this property and I'll wait until you find a loan. And so that's how it took. It just took us so long to find this. And finally, I was just like, forget it. Forget it. We're not supposed to be here. Like, he shouldn't be not taking rent on this space. And I kind of just said, okay, I'm fine. I'm content. Like, I really wasn't upset about it. And sure enough, a guy I went to grade school with called me. And he just said, hey, I heard you're looking for a loan. I'm going to a small town, and in the small towns, it's totally different the way we lend. Like, will you just come tell me about your project? I thought, sure, why not? Now let's go get down by turned down by somebody I know, right? That's going to make it so much better. And so I went and I talked to him, and sure enough, he pulls in the president of the bank, and he's like, I really think you need to hear this project. And the president of the bank said, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I went to something very similar in St. Louis. Like, this is amazing. Let's see if we can make it work. And sure enough, they got that loan through and just believed in me. So it took us 3 months to get the space up and running. So we finally, we're into 2012. We built out the space. We opened on August 3rd, and it was amazing and god awful at the same time. Like, we didn't know how to guess numbers, and so we ran out of product. Like, our air conditioning quit working because
this
space was not designed for that originally. And then our computer systems, nobody knew and kept crashing. And so I was just like shaking uncontrollably. Like, now I'm responsible for all these employees and customers. And I just couldn't help the feeling of being sick. Like, we were starting to get the numbers down and things like that. But every day I would drive to work and I felt sick to my stomach. I was just like shaking uncontrollably. And I'm working like 12-hour days, and I just, every day, I was just like, what did I do? I just, like, physically, I'm just like,
what did I get myself into?
Oh my gosh, I heart palpitations. And 3 weeks into the process of having this shop open, I found out I was 3 months pregnant with baby number one. I didn't know I was pregnant because I had been told it would be very hard for me to have children. And so my mom, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, this is, I can't, forget it. Like, the business is done. I can't do both. My mom said, you know what? This is how it was supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to find out till now because God knows you wouldn't have signed on the lease. You wouldn't have signed on the loan. You wouldn't have signed on the lease. And so my mom was like, okay, like, you can't be here 12 hours a day. Like, figure out who your managers are. Get some management structure in place. Tell us what to do. The team is here. So we got it figured out. Kept cranking forward. We're a month in, you know, by September, we're finally getting things kind of figured out. And September 27th came around. It had been an awesome day. We're cranking away. My mom was finishing some production, and I was actually leaving to go tell my best friends that I was expecting. Left the creme that night and went to see my friends, and my phone just started ringing like crazy with numbers I didn't know. And finally, I was like, something's really wrong. Like, these people are not giving up. And it was a different number almost every time. So I answer it, and they said, your mom is unconscious. She has collapsed at home. It was my mom's neighbor. And my mom had worked a full day that day and gone home and was preparing dinner for my dad and just turned around and fell to the ground unconscious. And they said, you need to get to the hospital quick. She's being taken by ambulance, and they don't know what's wrong. And so I get to the hospital, and all I can think of is, this is my fault. This is my fault. Like, if she wouldn't have left her job, she wouldn't be sick. If she wouldn't have worked a hard day, she wouldn't be sick. Like, how am I supposed to continue on? Like, God, why did you do this to me? Like, I hate this business. I hate everything about this business. And that was the night that I tell people, I quit on my business. And I quit on him because I felt like this is all his fault. Like, you planted these things in the way and look what happened. And I followed them and look what you did to me.
Could she have been wrong? Could it have all been wrong? Had she somehow missed God and all of the signs that seemed so clearly to point her to stepping out in faith? Why would God lead her to this place and especially allow this to happen to her mother? It just didn't make sense. Christina was at a crisis of faith and at a loss for hope. She had no idea that God was up to something she never could have imagined. Hear the rest of Christina's story in the next episode of Epic. We're so grateful to Christina for sharing her story today. We would love to hear your story, too. Share it with us and find more episodes of Epic at myfaithradio.com. Epic is a team project. Big thanks to Jason Rackow and Ted Ross for help with production. Thanks to Stefan Johnson for our show's theme song. My name is Meredith Foster. See you next week.